Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the episode.
What are you shaking? What do you got?
One of those little eggs. Oh. I got it at the Guitar Center when we were buying gear.
It's a musical thing? Like
yeah.
You shake it?
They have different types of shit in it, so it sounds a little different, but this is the one I got.
Nice. You're ready for the band, bro.
Look, right as soon as something, the plot unfoils.
Or you could be hiking in the mountains in California, shake it. Somebody thinks there's a rattler. They shit their pants. It's hilarious.
They're ready for it there, man. They're ready. I'm ready. You're ready.
You got Christmas lights behind you. You got a, it's a,
you
like
see
on
my
a,
shit?
Some garland or something. Is that what it's on? What is it? It's a vine thing going up your wall.
No, that's
is that a tree?
That's the lights.
Oh,
that's
the
tree.
Lights.
That's okay. My tree. It's got, listen, I'm not trying to stunt on everybody listening because we know we got a lot of very ballerish ass people listening. We know we have several executives and whatnot, some high level execs.
The guy that started Google.
Him?
Several people.
His brother, definitely. I talk to him all the time. And yeah. This has got 8 modes on it, this light setup. Look at this. I'll drop it any, look at that. That's just a slow crawl.
8 different
with
modes.
With the dimmer. You know, you got the dim modes, you got the pop around modes. Pop it around. Look at my tree. People weren't really ready for that level of mode. You know what I mean?
Is there a Hanukkah sequence? Are the lights different for Hanukkah than they
look
are
at that.
Christmas?
That's right there. Look at that one.
That's Hanukkah?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
That's Hanukkah.
I like it.
It blinks 21 times. Is that how many nights of gifts?
In a second. I don't remember.
I'm not sure. Dude.
It's longer than ours. We get the one day. One day
but we
for
get
presents.
All the gifts though at one day.
Did
they
you ever
get one a day?
True. That's true. Did you ever, was it a thing in your family to open one gift on Christmas Eve?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We got to do that.
Really?
And then one year out of nowhere, we just kind of shifted to just doing it on Christmas Eve night. I don't know. Maybe
the
when
whole
got
thing?
Older?
Yeah, I think when you get older, that's a thing. Because, well, you know, it's like, fuck it. Let's all sleep in a little bit on Christmas.
Yeah.
We don't have to get up at like 4 in the morning. Because when you're a kid, you know, you might, you maybe sleep a half hour anyway.
Yeah, you know, you can't go to sleep. You're thinking of all the shit you hope you get. You know what I mean? What are you going to, you know, one year we got popped, bro. Me and my brother, we went. My mom was out working. We opened up every single thing on the tape. We lifted it up to look at what it was. So this is after Santa Claus. We knew he wasn't real, but my mom was Christmas shopping, and then they put him out, and then she went to work. You know, and they had a full investigation. So what do you think you got for Christmas? You know, like they had a full, they launched a full investigation. We got investigated separately and together, and we ended up confessing.
One time I got a full-size arcade game, and it, my dad put it in the garage. I guess he had it for like a month before Christmas. And all he did was throw a blanket over it, and I didn't know. Like it was next to the freezer. I would go in that freezer and grab popsicles and shit all the time.
I wonder
ice
what
cream
that
sandwiches.
Is. I wonder what that big thing is with the blanket over it.
I never even looked at it. I'm like, I don't know. My mom must be painting a cabinet or something. My fucking Zaxxon machine. Do you remember Zaxxon from back in the day?
What was that?
You flew the spaceship over the city and. You just had to navigate around buildings and shit, and you could shoot stuff. But it was the first one that was like
3D. I know what it looks like, and I remember it, but it's been a while. I can't really place it.
It was the first space one that looked 3D, because before that we had Galaga and shit like that, where shit just moved sideways. That's all all you could do, you know.
Yeah, you get to shoot up, try to hit the little buddies up there.
That game.
My lady
still
always
popular.
Beats me in Ms. Pac-Man. She's really good at it.
Really.
She's smooth with it. That's only she's really good at that game. You know, it's Christmas right now. You had me. I don't know what it was, what you did it for. But you just said, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you just watch Fat Man It's on Amazon Video. Can you just watch this Christmas movie? It's a Christmas movie. I'll tell you what, you really ruined Christmas there, Todd.
That was a wild movie.
Should we?
I love it.
Now, how do we want to do this? Because we want people to watch it.
Yeah, I do. I fucking love that movie. It's now my new favorite Christmas movie.
You know, a couple things you can't. I mean, do we? What do we want to do? We want to revisit this in a few weeks?
No, right now, because it's Christmas movie season right now. Oh, People are always looking for Christmas movies.
So, all right, here's what we're going to do. Do you want to talk about it? Like, if people who don't give a fuck and just listen? Because what if people want to watch the movie, but they don't want us to ruin it? Like, with some spoilers and shit like that.
Fuck, I didn't think about that. Let's give them the premise, and let's have people watch it.
I just want them to just watch it without anything.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell them what it is. I'm just going to tell them it's a Christmas movie.
You're not going to tell them who's in it?
Mel Gibson's in it.
And Walter Goggins.
And Walter Goggins.
He's fucking huge right now.
And it's a Christmas movie, and it's awkwardly awesome. I don't know. I love it.
It's the weirdest.
I don't know about love, but.
Somebody, this is what I love about it, is somebody got high as fuck when they wrote that movie.
Whoever wrote that script is a maniac. That's what I know. I don't know if that's where Mel Gibson is in his career right now, which I could see that being a Mel Gibson written script. The Johnny Carson shot.
Oh, my God,
it was whiskey with the fucking Alka-Seltzer caplet in it, tablet, and he puts it to the face. He calls it the Johnny Carson shot.
Okay, we got a thumbs up. We got some IMDb information here.
Okay.
Jared. Right.
It's directed and written by Esham Nels and Ian Nelms. So I'm guessing they're siblings.
What else have they made?
Let's see. They don't even have Wikipedia pages, so they must not have done anything.
Mel Gibson's giving homies shots. He's getting people to submit scripts. Dude, he's like, fuck it, I'm rolling with these two brothers.
Though, you got Walter Goggins, one of the hottest items in Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
Dude, coming from Justified and The Shield. I mean, this dude is hot as fuck. He's done all those Danny McBride movies. He was in Vice Principals. Are those TV shows?
They've done three full-length movies.
Okay.
And the rest are all shorts.
You never heard of them. Okay.
I liked it. I mean, look,
it's bizarre.
There is a very bizarre feel to it. Like, there's this, like, what's going on here? Like, the way they cross over genre.
Let me say this. You guys all heard my high note about the Christmas movie I wanted to make. When I first read the description, I started watching it. For a moment, I was like, are these motherfuckers steal my movie idea? Like, it was that weird. I personally, it's my new favorite Christmas movie. I'll just say that.
It's your new favorite, huh?
Yeah. And we'll talk about it on Thursday's show. How about that?
All right. Yeah. So we're going to do this. Yeah. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to have, we'll talk about it for a few minutes at the next episode. Give people a shot to go watch it today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday and Wednesday. And then we'll talk about it on Thursday again. And we'll tell them in the description where to fast forward so if they haven't watched it.
Yeah.
Because this shit is
a good plan. And maybe
you got to rent it. It's a $7 buy. It's a $6 buy or whatever. But I had to do it because we don't, you know, just for the fucking podcast. Like, this is a maniac shit going on. My lady was sitting here watching it like, what the fuck?
I stumbled across it on accident because you kind of can't tell it's Mel Gibson unless you know you're looking for Mel Gibson in the photo. So I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then I just I hit that trailer, dude. And I was like, what? This is the weirdest shit I've ever seen. I gotta watch it.
Yeah. Right?
So I did. I'm happy I did.
That was fucking clean. clean pickoff by you there. I'm really interested to hear what the masses say about it. That's what I want to hear.
It's going to be interesting. Some people are going to love it. Some people are going to hate it. It's pretty polarizing. Get it? Polar?
dude, you are crushing the puns now.
I'm crushing them.
You're a fucking savage.
What's your favorite Christmas movie setup?
Christmas movie?
Prior to Fat Man, what was your favorite Christmas movie?
I'm going to have to, I think fucking Little Red Rider, BB Gun, man.
Oh, Christmas Story.
Christmas Story. I think that's what I have to roll with just because I just love the voiceover from this kid as an adult, but like telling his kid stories, you know, just like that whole setup of how it is and then him going through the story, you know, the trials and the tribulations of a little kid, and then he fucked around with the BB gun and the tongue, and
the dad is hilarious.
Family, the dad, That's definitely, I think, is my favorite.
It's a great
favorite
movie. If I want to cry, I watch Jack Frost with Michael Keaton. Where he becomes, he dies and becomes a snowman.
Yeah.
And then plays with his son when he didn't have time before. But he was pre-snowman. He had no time. He was a busy businessman.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But he had to die and come back as a fucking snowman?
Yeah, to learn how to build a real relationship with his son.
That's wild. But people go through to hang out with the kids. That's why I'm glad I never, I didn't grow up with my dad. And I didn't know, me and my brother had different dads until I was like 15. And I didn't meet my dad until I was like 18.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad I didn't search for my dad like the way, like the whole Luke Skywalker and fucking Darth Vader, you know, the way that they came to their conclusion, you know?
Yeah, it could be worse.
Because I met my dad. I remember he was like, I don't know, I was 18. He was probably close to 50, I'm assuming. You know, he had a mullet.
That's the first time you met your dad?
First time I met my dad was at, he saw me a couple of times when I was little, but I don't remember.
Yeah, sure.
But I went there. I meant to meet him, right? I met him at a Denny's at noon in my little town, Yuma, Arizona. Met him at the Denny's up by 85. He was sitting at the counter with a mullet. I mean, fucking hard mullet. Like, you see how dark and, you know, how streaked my hair is, just like jet black.
Right.
He had like a flat top kind of thing going on up top with a party straight down the back, dude.
Holy shit.
I mean, full sides off. Fucking slamming a just sipping a Coors Light, man, at the bar at noon on like a Tuesday, about to meet me, dude, is in at a Denny's. Bro.
Oh my god!
It's like, hey, Dad,
did you guys hit it off?
We wanted to. You know, I really did.
Yeah,
it saw. You know, it did answer a lot of questions in my life because nobody looked like me or acted like me growing up my entire life, and then I met my dad. And all his family, like, I love my family, obviously, but like, I was just not like anybody.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I went to a family reunion on my dad's side, and it looked like I was part of like a clone factory.
Really?
Yeah. It was just, I walked into a room of me's.
So you're hardcore, your dad's side, everything, like no, physical.
Oh,
traits.
Yes. Everything. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Everything.
Holy shit.
That's even kind the of eye, weird. The eye is hereditary.
Really?
Yeah, I got an uncle, a grandpa. My dad's eye's fucked up. So he's got some fucked up shit going on with his eye. My grandpa on my dad's side, and also my uncle on my dad's side. It's definitely hereditary.
That had to feel bizarre. You're like, holy shit.
They drank like me, which was way different because my mom's side of the family was a lot more conservative. Like, you know, like my grandfather, everybody drank, but not like partied together. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But my dad's side, yeah, I still talk to my sister and my brother on that side, but that's really it. Yeah, everybody, like, they're just like, I walked into like a place, and it was a family reunion, and they're all there. I was like, what?
You're like, holy shit.
It was a wild
shit.
Little situation from being like, oh, my, you know, walking into, and you're just like, everybody looks like me, kind of. Damn. There's old me, there's girl me, there's young little me, there's big me with a crazier eye.
Wow, man, that's bizarre. I never thought about that before because I knew you didn't grow up with your dad or anything. Yeah, but yeah.
No, just me, my mom, brother, my mom's, you know, my grandma, grandpa, my and my mom's brothers and sisters.
So I was talking about Jack Frost, and he came back as a snowman. Mm-hmm. If you were to come back, if you could come back as anything, let's make it an animal. Let's start with an animal. If you could come back as any animal, you're not allowed to come back as a human or anything else, just one animal. What would you come back as? Are you going to go predator? Are you going to go something that's cute that people like to play with?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go. Man, that's a good question.
I think I might go eagle.
You're going eagle, huh?
Just that's pretty prestigious. Nobody really fucks with the eagle. I'm kind of protected, at least here in the States. Yeah. Like, you're not allowed to fuck with me. But I'm pretty ferocious compared to other birds. So I just kind of sit up there. And people gawk at me like I'm extra cool. And then anytime I want, I'll come down and fucking snag a fish. Ain't nobody can do anything about it.
You know what? I respect that attitude and respect where you're at there. I mean, the flying of the sky miles high, diving for your food. Fucking, you know, you literally represent freedom. You know, it's a democracy.
And I think all the other birds would want to bang me. You know what I mean? Like every other bird wants to fuck an eagle, dude.
Dude, the eagle fucks. The eagle just tearing up.
You probably
all other birds. No other bird. All other male birds of any other species of bird is insecure about the eagle.
Oh yeah, dude.
They can't even barely fly around the eagle.
I mean, it'd be like me trying to compete against like the Rock or somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're just like a little bitch ass.
Yeah.
Crow.
He could crush me, and no girl's gonna want to even think about fucking me before they fuck him. Like I lose in every category, and I feel like probably penguins even want to fuck eagles. They're not even a flying bird. Still want to fuck the eagle.
Well, yeah, because eagles can fuck up other kind of animals down there that are actually that can kill penguins.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also like that savior thing that he's got going on for the penguin. And if you're a penguin, like I hope an eagle fucks me.
Can you imagine what that bird looks like? A fucking eagle and a penguin hybrid.
It'd be like a box truck in the sky. But like with it's like a brand new box truck.
It could just look like an eagle really dressed up. Like I think I'm gonna go
just like a my dog, man. My dog has the gig. She gets she goes on a walk, she gets fresh air, someone picks up her shit. You know, they always feed her. She don't gotta be out there hunting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She does little tricks for treats. My lady just giving her, got all kinds of good little bones from the grocery store all the time. You know, she's even been doing new tricks like 6-7 years into her life out of nowhere. And then like her biggest concern is to find the most comfy spot wherever she's at.
That's a pretty good life.
The room. Where's the most comfortable spot? Is it on you? Is it next to you? Is it on the couch, up top behind you? Is it this pillow under this blanket? Like, where is the most comfy spot? And that's where I'm going to go. And if you're there, you're going to have to adjust.
I respect a dog's ability to nap, too. A dog can shut it down 2,000 times a day. They take all those mini naps.
Yep.
Like, at any given point, they can lay down. I'm out for 3 minutes. And then back up. Oh, you want to play? Yep, I'm good. But then when they're done, all right, nap, 4 minutes. Now I'm back at it. And they can eat constantly. Like your dog Ari would eat until she died.
Yeah, she'll like, definitely no self-control over eating good stuff.
She's so tiny, but she would eat. I'm like, I've already given you your weight in food. Like when we were making the dog food, with all the carrots and shit.
Yeah, and the rice.
Like she would just house it in like 2 seconds. Chicken. Yeah. And I would feel bad, and I'm like, all right, put it. And then by the time, like, if I would have just put this in a mound, it's as big as you are, what you just ate. Like, how's
–
and it's not coming out
yet. She put on a few pounds. We really had her nice and fat over there making her food. We were like, – Todd started cooking her food.
It was awesome. I tried to do it for Marnie's dogs when she moved in. Difference is she had 3 dogs anywhere between, like, 80 pounds and 200 pounds.
You can make a big pot. Actually have to work at an actual kitchen to feed those dogs. That's like a party of 5 of humans. Yeah.
I mean, it's like feeding a lion, basically. You gotta get the Walmart truck, like in Tiger King. I have a Walmart truck with the expired meat, come dump it in. It's the only way I could keep them fed. But her shit would last.
And that's nice that they would hook you up with that free meat like that.
Right? Yeah.
You ever sneak a snake out of there? A steak? Come on, don't lie. You didn't sneak one of those trash steaks out, bro.
Those Walmart trash steaks? I lived on expired meat for a while because our neighbor was a Kroger butcher. And when it ran, this is the last day, last sell date, when they got off work, they would just, everybody, who wants to take this home? And he would come home with these steaks and stuff, like a whole cooler full of shit. But it's still good for a few days, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my dad wouldn't him, but they grill
you could
that
freeze
shit.
It also quick.
Oh yeah, and then you're good. Like it was a pretty good side benefit to being a butcher. Also, I think you just look cool wearing an apron that's white with blood smeared over it all the time.
Yeah, then you got to reach up with the back of your wrist to wipe off the sweat.
Oh,
because you got just so much blood all over the place, but you're sweating from working so hard at butchering some sort of carcass that you have to wipe off the beads of sweat with the back of your wrist. You know what I mean? just hands bloody.
Oh yeah,
blood all over this.
I fucking
just chopping ham hocks up.
I feel like if you're a butcher, and we have a friend that's a butcher, a whole family of butchers, and this is not degrading at all, but like I always feel like it's rooted in gangster shit. Mm-hmm. Like that's where you get rid of bodies and stuff. You know what I mean? Like they have the big cooler if you need to put a body on ice for a couple weeks, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, and then also they have everything to grind you up into sausage if they want to. Like that's always
tied.
They have
a special meat processor in the back that's only for the high quality meats. But that's just where they just grind up legs and feet and shit. Especially a butcher that also owns pigs.
Yeah.
It's like that scene, you know, in Snatch.
Yeah, feed them to the pigs.
Yeah, that's 12 pigs can go through 8 rounds of flesh every 30 seconds. That means 12 pigs can eat 2 grown men in 12 minutes.
I like anything that's tied back to old school gangster shit. So I feel like when you couldn't get to the butcher, you had to have a backup plan. Couldn't get to the pigs, couldn't get to the butcher. So then I feel like you had to pay off the morgue guy. He has the incinerator for ashing people's remains.
Yeah. That's why they're next door to each other. In the same cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
You're smart. That's just a smart business move. You're going to cut down on transportation. You know, you're just going to be next door.
You keep all your body disposal people in one neighborhood.
Yes.
That's what I like. Do you think you would eat a person if it came down to it?
No, I just go with plants and animals. If that's a wrap, dude, then that's a wrap. I just feel like I wouldn't be that desperate. And if it's, you know, that whole...
Alive. You're stuck in the frozen mountains. There's no vegetables. Dude, there's nothing.
Because guess what? You're still going to run out of humans pretty soon. You might last a couple more months. I think I'd rather have more decency as a man to just, hey, it's time. This is the end of the line. I don't need to eat 3 people to extend my life. Is my life that much more important to live 3 more months that theirs is less important to be eaten just so I can breathe for 90?
A plane might find you. That's what they're thinking. Well, if I could just make it like 2 or 3 more months, you know, somebody might fly by and see my little mirror when I flash the sun at it.
Or my fucking SOS.
I think there was one guy, one of the group, who just really liked the taste of human. So he kept talking. He kept being motivation for the rest of them. The rest of them were like you. They were like, no, let's just go out, man. You know, I'm not going to eat somebody. And that one guy was like, no, dude, there is a search party. You know there is. If we can just make it a couple more months. And he didn't really give a fuck about getting rescued. He just loved eating people's ass meat.
Yeah. From what I understand, he deep fried everybody's assholes and ate it like calamari. I think you just gotta go. It was a good run.
I mean,
I'm not fucking cooking up Brad or Jenny, dude.
I'm just gonna go to sleep here in the cold, which is pretty easy to do. I think
I'm gonna go right to bed, never wake up. That's it. Maybe even freeze to death. Maybe I'll get locked in and end up being like fucking Encino Man, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And then I just am some ice block that Pauly Shore finds later on in life.
You'll be like a little time capsule for yourself.
That's it.
I'll write a little note, my little life story, put it in my pockets, just lay down in the snow. Like when they find me, they'll read this when I thaw.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know,
I would learn how to tattoo, I think, while we were there. Like, because I, you know, I'm going to make it 7 or 8 days without eating, probably. Well, probably longer. Like, they can go 14 days. I can eat the snow for water, so I can last a long time on just water, no food. I think I'm going to learn how to tattoo, and I'll give everybody tattoos.
Are you going to go old school Indian style where they did the ink with the deep fucking needles? I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to hope to Christ that someone had a tattoo kit on the ship?
No, I think I would just, I got to work with what I got. I don't know. Maybe I use motor oil from the plane's engines.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, we'll figure it out.
Are you just
going to
get something sharp from the engine?
Yeah, maybe I'll get a spring from the seat cushion or something, you know, and I'll use that and then hone it. I'll rub it against some metal so it's extended to a point.
Bang it with rocks. Flatten that tip out. Get a nice point going.
Mm-hmm.
Really fuck people up.
I mean, I'm going to pass the time. You know what I'm saying?
All you're trying to do is help people express themselves. And that's what people have to understand. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of guy you are. Like, this pain represents what this means to you.
I'm gonna
feel
listen.
Something, man.
I can start killing people and eating you if you want, but what if instead,
yeah,
you let me let's take all the components around us.
Yeah,
let's do some Mr. T A team shit here, yep, where we use just what's here or yep, some MacGyver shit,
uh-huh,
and then we make see if we can make tattoo guns or whatever. You know, what
and
I'm
listen again, expression, art, you're giving back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's yeah, just a selfless act by you.
And let's say we do get rescued. Now you got something to show for your time there. You can be like, hey, what'd you guys do while you were there? Oh, look, I got this
I got
tattoo.
This fucked up giraffe. From a first time tattoo artist that used the sprockets. And after he chiseled down the point and then motor oil tatted the shit into me. And I have skin cancer, but it reminds me. You know, I think that anybody trying to guess what aliens are up to, they're out of their fucking minds, because aliens they could be thousands of years advanced civilizations from where we are. They're living in their version of 4,022, right?
Yeah.
Or 21.
I mean, 4,021. People assume. I mean,
look how far we came in 100 years. Imagine 2000, dude. We're going to be going to different galaxies like we're bar hopping.
I've said this before, but I always thought it would be fascinating if we get invaded, right? Mm-hmm. Like we just wake up one day and the motherships are hovering over every major city, you know, and we're like, oh shit. And there's that Independence Day, like ominous, yep, all the attacks coming. And then finally the aliens unleash that attack. And let's say, all right, they're really good at space travel, but they're like really weak and, mm-hmm, and fragile. And their weapons are antiquated, like they almost have like muskets and stuff. So they launch this attack and they're like, oh yeah, we'll easily take over this planet.
Yeah.
But if I fucking hit one, they just fucking explode. You know what I mean? Yep. Like they're almost like balloons filled with blood to, yep, us.
Yes.
And they're like, it takes them forever because they're still fighting with muskets and we have machine guns and stuff. And they're like, back to the mothership. We made a mistake. This is a superior, yeah, race of being.
That would be a cool, wild. I never thought about that ever in my life, which is mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Is if we got invaded by aliens, but then we won.
They were pussies. They
what?
Couldn't. Like they came up.
We just
to attack
fuck
you and
them
they
up.
They did like one of these,
yeah,
slaps, you know, like they're real uncoordinated, like
can you imagine how much we'll come together as a planet is if we get invaded but we fucking win?
We'll get so cocky then, bro, like as humans, like we'll be like, we're the baddest motherfuckers in the universe right,
yeah,
now. Like look, these beings came from another galaxy, one rushed me, I pulled both its arms off, shoved them up its asshole,
and I put it on TikTok. It's on TikTok. There's
TikTok
a video.
I get 2 million
of
views.
Todd pulling an alien's arms off and shoving it up its alien asshole.
Can you? I think that would be the best. That would be awesome. And then we would be like, let's reverse engineer their shit and let's travel to their planet and let's take that over from when we, yeah, exhaust all our resources. We'll just go invade them, take all their shit.
And then imagine having to go back. You're like, bitch, we're 200 years ahead of them. How can you come back to this planet with any dignity? Like how do you lose to them? And obviously, you know, it was an away game and you're gonna have
it's tough to win on the road.
It's tough to win on the road in September sometimes, man. October, whatever month is the hardest.
It's a tough universe. Tough to win on the road, even against the weak teams. Tough to win on the road, you know.
So yeah, I guess what we're saying is that there could be civilizations that are a couple of hundred years or whatever x amount of years more advanced than us. But the overall universe is way more of a bitch than us.
Way more of a bitch.
So,
that would be awesome.
A more bitched out, more advanced civilization still could take a L showing up to an old school fucking more hardcore civilization,
yeah,
and universe like the Milky Way and us.
Like if it looked like the alien from Alien,
yeah,
or in the movie Predator, like they looked badass, but they basically were like Jello and they fell apart, like they were so easily defeated. It would be hilarious. I would have such a good time fighting aliens that way.
I think that's where the sawed off shotgun is really going to shine.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean, just like that up close pop, you know.
I'll hunt them with a slingshot if they're like, you know what I mean, I just and it is poof, like just a bunch of Jello being thrown against the wall.
The thing is, I want to do the chick, you know what I mean? I want to do that while I'm reloading. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I want the noises. I want to walk around in slow mo. You know?
Oh, I get
blasting, just having that face, just boom, just two of them at once. You know what I mean?
You know what the baddest ass move is with the sawed-off shotgun, like in movies, when they do it one-handed?
What's scarier, as somebody on the other end of the shotgun, looking at the barrel? Is it the blast of the gun, or is it that cock?
It's the it's the action, the sound of that action of that action, fucking right? Shell into the pipe. Yeah.
You just like, no matter what you're doing, you hear that, you better fucking stop whatever you're doing, bro. You slowly give it the turnaround. Get off my property.
You have to say it with a weird, creepy Southern accent too afterward. Like you don't, you can't be like the other guy, like, and be like, g'day, mate, get out of my house. You know, you're not trying to scare you. You got to be like, come on in, boy. And then I'm be like, oh, nope, shotgun. The guy sounds like he wants to fuck me and then eat me. Nope.
Yeah, not doing it. And burn me up at the same time. You could follow it up with a laugh. Like after you, and then you just see him freeze. I could, a good laugh could work.
Oh, I would do the yeehaw. And then nobody's coming.
Nobody.
I just lost my headphones. That was such a good yeehaw.
Well, you know what? Listen, when you do character work, you go 110, and people don't, a lot of people don't realize that because this is a podcast, but Todd's act outs on the StreamYard stream are, I mean, eventually after episode 100, 200, we're going to have ourselves a reel of just Todd's greatest act out highlights, and it's going to be beautiful.
I get really into character. We should do it. We should do a top five. You're running the top five this time, right?
Yeah, I picked. This week I picked.
Time for Todd and Sean's top five.
All right, top five trees, Todd, to start off.
Top five trees.
Yeah, just fucking trees.
Are we going to go back and forth with this one like we did before? I think that was a good way to do it. It. Top five trees. The Dollar Tree. Everything's only a dollar. What's not to love? You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if you know this or not, Dollar Tree also owns Family Dollar, where pretty much everything costs more than a dollar. So
the Family Dollar is a little bit higher than the Dollar General.
Yeah, so you're going to get some brand name shit in there. Of course, you're not going to pay a dollar for it because it's brand name.
And it's Family Dollar. Like, you got a family, you can afford $2 and $3.
I would have went with more than a Dollar Tree myself. I would have had Dollar Tree more than a Dollar Tree. I don't know. They went Family Dollar. It's fine.
And great research by you. I would like to commend you on your research as far as knowing, you know, the backstory of who these owners are and why they decided to put Family Dollars in some neighborhoods and Dollar Trees in others.
Thank you. What's yours? Right. What's your favorite tree? First favorite
tree? I'm going to go with the bonsai tree.
Oh, fuck you. I didn't even think of that.
When the Karate Kid, when Ralph Macchio had to drop down onto the side of that mountain to pick off that bonsai tree, bonsai tree, because, you know, it was a very big deal, the accent, how they said it.
Mm-hmm.
Bonsai.
You be Mr. Miyagi, and I'll be Ralph Macchio, and let's recreate that scene.
Okay, go.
Okay. Oh, it's a bonsai tree.
Bonsai tree, Daniel-san.
Bonsai.
I don't even remember the script here. But here's what they still roped down with that chick. They fucking dug up that amazing tree. They're just so awesome, and I love them.
All right, my next favorite tree, Tree of Souls from the movie Avatar. It's basically their heaven. And I don't know if you guys know this, but the Tree of Souls, the Navi...
Uh-huh.
Call it Vitraya Ramanang, which basically means this is our heaven. This tree is our heaven.
You really came with a spiritual aspect of your top five that I wasn't really expecting.
Hey, Blue Lives Matter. I'm really into the Blue Navi people.
I'm going Douglas fir.
Oh, yeah.
The Douglas fir.
Douglas fir
is the backbone of the communities of the building for our housing, our walls, the studs. I mean, the Douglas fir is responsible and is not only the most durable, it's the strongest. This is really, I equate to what being American is. You know what I mean?
I like it.
You're the backbone. You work hard. You're blue collar.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you got a cool name, Douglas fir.
And it's a tree with a real name, with the people.
Exactly.
Name.
Like his name is Douglas.
You got Douglas tree and you got Joshua tree. Those are the only two trees.
Those are the only two trees. Douglas and Joshua.
Yeah. I'm going to go. My next one is the tree from Poltergeist. The one that comes to life after lightning hits it and it attacks Bobby, the boy, and tries to eat him. That's a pretty cool tree. I like it.
I'm going with tree from the Avengers movie. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah.
That's my lady turned me on to them. And
Groot.
Groot. That's Groot.
That's all you can say, right? One word.
Yeah, Groot. That's it. Groot. And that's my number three tree.
Nice. My number four tree, the trees from the Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers. The ones that carried Pippin and Merry around. And then, like, they were losing the battle. And they're like, oh, no, it's over. We're going to lose. And then here come all the trees. And they just started stepping on fools and tearing their arms off, just like I wanted to do to the aliens. They saved the war. I mean, they saved the human race.
I got to respect it. I'm going with a weeping willow.
Ooh, sad
tree. The way that shit dangles down, it just... You know, you ever hung, I don't know if it's weeping willows or not, but that's always one of my favorite places I remember where the trees, you know, have all that moss and they just, the weeping willows jangling down is like in Georgia. You know, they got those big old trees. Everybody Google weeping willow right now. Just look at that.
You know what, though? Here's what I'm going to say this about the weeping willow. I think it's a little bushy. I think it's like a 70s
vagina.
Are you calling
the question if this is a tree enough for the top five trees?
I think it's like a 70s vagina. I like a more like trimmed, you know what I mean? Like maybe a pine tree or something. It's a little more trimmed down.
I thought you were going to tell me that it doesn't qualify for the top five.
No, I'm happy with it. I'm just saying myself.
But the way you said it, it threw me off and it was fucking perfect.
All right, my last tree, the family tree, because that was my favorite project in elementary school. Whenever you had to make the family tree.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could really show off my art skills because I was a better drawer than the other kids. So I'd make it like, I would draw the tree from Poltergeist. And it would be like trying to eat all my family members. And my teacher did not appreciate it.
Yeah.
You were supposed to do like a happy tree. Like a Bob Ross tree, and everybody was supposed to be on a branch there. I made an evil tree, and big deal at my elementary school.
I'm pretty sure your teachers talked to your mom a lot when you were little.
A lot.
My family tree, you know what? Listen, sometimes there's branches that just suddenly pop out of nowhere. And,
Your family tree, like, tripled in size when you turned 18.
One day, I found out that there's a whole other stalk and trunk. All right, my final one is when people call weed trees, because I can never sell it. I can never back myself enough to be like, yo, like I can just never be like, I got trees, man. I got trees or whatever. Like I could never say it. When they would reference weed as trees, I was so envious because I couldn't pull it off properly. I say I always see weed. I used to say chronic endo smoke, you know, bud. But I could never, ever pull off saying trees like, well, let's roll up some trees then. Like I could just never do it.
I love how, because trees is like the best code word. And then when it gets more advanced, then everything that starts with a T is code word for tree. Because trees starts with T, then like people are like, hey, you going to come get those tires, you know?
I got these trunks over here.
Yeah.
By the way, I have 12.
Do you want to come get some of these testicles?
Here's a thing of tables also, these patio tables.
I got some Tyrannosaurus Rexes.
I just spoke to my pet store manager, homie, and he got 14 tarantulas. If you guys want to come get them, they're only $250 each. Or you can get a quarter tarantula for a little bit cheaper.
Do you need 4 ounces of titties? A real complicated code. Hey, man.
You sound like you're probably some sort of, I'd say, Mississippi or Louisiana somewhere ordering. Otherwise, hey, if you're on the coast, you know, maybe you need a couple of pounds of tilapia. You know, you just don't know.
Hey, man, I'm going to get some tilapia. All right. What's the second top five topic?
All right. Second top five topic that I chose was flea market items.
The framed Velvet Elvis says so. It's so cool.
Yep.
It says so much about you. It says, hey, come to my bedroom and look at my waterbed. You know what I mean? Yeah. It just defines you when you have a Velvet Elvis up in your living room. Kick a hole in my wall. I don't care. It's not drywall. It's paneling.
Yeah.
I'll just put up a new fucking panel strip.
Wham. I got a fucking Douglas fir out back. I got wood. I can fix the paneling. No, you know what I mean? That's what that picture says.
Velvet Elvis, baby.
It says I might take a little sip of some scotch at 7 a.m.
Uh-huh. I still drive an IROC.
Yeah, I wear bikini-style underwear. Possibly with some sort of pattern from an animal from the jungles of China. But that's how my what you're getting into when I sat next to you at the bar. We struck up a convo and I said to you, I just picked up another sweet ass Elvis velvet painting. You knew what you were getting into when you showed up. If you're 37, if you're talking with this woman's 37, she has to know.
Of course, I think 8-tracks are better sound quality than this digital bullshit.
We're going vinyl.
That's what it says. Velvet Elvis, baby. That's our new phrase right now. Velvet Elvis. Put it on a shirt. Velvet Elvis is what you say anytime you try to tell somebody, I'm not buying anything that's happened since 1980.
Velvet Elvis. All right. Flea market items. My first one, knee-high socks. You got to go with the fucking 10-pack of knee-high socks for $12.
Oh, I love the knee-high socks. I miss them. When I look at my, like, middle school photos and my elementary school basketball photos and everybody had the knee-high fucking socks with the three stripes at the top, come on.
It looks nice. I mean, listen, certain people can pull it off better than others.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go knee-high on them, I mean, it's all business.
It's all business, man.
That's if you got the knee highs on, and you know, I like so cheap because there's a 10 pack is like 15 packs, like $12. If you got the socks on that used to quit, you know, like the top would give loose and they would drop down on your ankles.
Yeah.
And it looked like you were wearing them workout things that women wore around their ankles and shit in the '80s. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why you had to understand, stay on top of your knee highs.
The leg warmers, they called them.
Yeah, but when you had the knee-high socks and you wore them too long and then the elastic went away at the top and then they would just fall down and they would crumble at the bottom of your ankle and then you'd look like the fucking chick from Flashdance. You know what I mean? What's your next one?
My next one, I'm on an art theme for the first two. Okay. But I'm going with the classic dogs playing poker.
Okay. Wait. Another picture. Wow. Two pictures. I would have docked you points right here on this.
These are two things you see at every flea market. I mean, if you want any credibility in the flea market booth game, you've got to have a Velvet Elvis and, or at least be able to find, if called upon, a Velvet Elvis or dogs playing poker painting. I feel like.
Okay.
Listen. And if you can't do that, I feel like you lose all credibility with the other flea market booth people.
And I want people to know that I'm taking this serious. I have a pen in my hand, and I just, for no reason, on my notes, wrote down D.P.P. Dog poker painting.
And now listen, I just put a pen in my hand. So let me break down the dogs playing poker painting.
Hit us with that.
All right. If you look at it, there's a bulldog, a boxer, a collie, a Great Dane. And those four are all looking at the St. Bernard.
Yeah.
So you got a bulldog, a boxer, a collie, and a Great Dane staring at the St. Bernard, just wondering, you know, what's he going to do? What's his next move? Is he going to call or is he going to raise, or is he going to go all in? You know, because if you really pay attention to the painting, like, why is the call even there? He doesn't even have cards. He's the only one to have cards on the table. Like, he's not even
in the game. Or is he just hanging out with his, like, on the
maybe
side?
He's out, but also he's a collie. I mean, you're sitting there with a bulldog, a boxer, and a Great Dane and a Saint Bernard. Who invited the collie? Who invited Lassie to this fucking badass dog breed game? You know, go fucking save Timmy from a well.
I mean,
you didn't earn this spot.
If you're the other dogs, don't you hope a Lassie type motherfucker shows up? He was the Brad Pitt of dogs in the dog Hollywood scene for decades.
I think that's the only reason he's there. He's still living on that Lassie fame from the fucking 60s. You know what I mean? He's like those old washed out celebrities you see show up on the World Series of Poker Tour, you know, on the celebrity tournaments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's Lassie was like, hey, we should invite Lassie, right? Fucking, that'll be cool.
All right. Well, you know, I think you're being harsh on Lass, but you know, I
love the painting.
And you love the history in the painting. You've even broke down why certain breeds of dog are even there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't overlook a passion.
I mean, they're all fighting dogs. Mm-hmm. They're all fighting dogs. And then, you know, St. Bernard, you can argue that the St. Bernard's not a violent fucking dog. Have you ever seen Stephen King's Cujo? I mean, that's all I'm saying. I mean, he fucking terrorized the entire family.
After you watch that.
Yeah.
And also, I think that if all the dogs, the Lassie collie dog might win the tournament. I mean, we're talking about a smart fucking dog.
They're smart dogs. I'll give you that.
They can play these other dogs like fools, dude.
But they're just going to fuck the shit out of it and eat it.
My next one, dude. Old little kid bikes. A lot of little kid bikes with like one training wheel on them. You know, they're always there. There's always one dude with the bikes. Mm-hmm. You just hope and pray that he has an old Schwinn. And if he doesn't, you'd be like, fuck. It's a busted ass Huffy from 97. I don't want that. You know what I mean? Give me something clean from the 70s, even the 80s. Give me a nice beach cruiser.
If you're a young parent right now, let's say your kid's around 10 years old. If you want to make your kid extra cool, go buy some old Huffy like that somebody used to own back in like 1982.
Yep.
And you make your kid ride that around with his friends, you know, because he will be super cool. Like all his friends that are riding red lines and shit are going to be like, hey, look how cool that old Huffy is with the real short cranks. Like, look how fast you have to pedal to get anywhere. You're so much cooler than us. You guys should all go do that like my parents did to me. It's awesome.
It teaches you to be comfortable in your own skin. Everybody else is doing their thing with their little regular ass. This is what we should be, you know, riding because society says so. But you roll up as a little kid on a fucking legend of a bike. Everybody's like, yo, this guy has got little tiny nuts of steel.
It's like still driving the IROC Z. Like it's that kind of attitude. You know, your kids are going to get beat up a lot. It makes them tougher.
Let them fight back. All right, what do you got next?
Shitty old golf club set.
Oh, I had that one.
But I'm talking not the antique ones that might actually have some value. I want somebody's clubs that they used twice in 1998 and never used again. And they were just a cheap set that they went out and got because they had to go to a work scramble or something, you know, and they didn't even golf. They didn't know how to golf, but they were pretty good at softball. They were like, oh, I can figure it out. Of course you can't.
Yeah.
So then they were like, I don't need these. And they sat in the closet for a decade and a half, too. And then they end up at this.
And then the wife
market.
Goes, listen, you haven't touched these clubs since the so-and-so scramble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Since the Rodriguez air conditioning, heating and plumbing scramble. Take these fucking clubs and get them out of my house.
I want those clubs. I feel like those clubs say so much. That set sucked the life out of that person. Like that literally there's so much humiliation, so much anger.
When the guy got kicked out of the house, the wife took the clubs and threw them out the front door. Like, don't forget your fucking golf clubs.
That you used twice.
Yeah, that you used twice.
That you just fucking had to have because you suck at golf and you have a small dick. I want those clubs.
Those are the nice clubs. Clubs that know that they probably aren't going to see a golf ball more than they're going to see indifference.
All right. My next item is binoculars.
Okay, you go with binocs.
I can't.
You got to test them out. You ever bought binocs and not looked at them?
It's impossible. I can't not pick them up and look at them. That's what I love about them. Even like this is a little tip for the flea market booth people. You want people engaged. It's like social media, right? You want them liking and commenting. You want them interacting. Even if you don't care to sell it, set it at the end of your table because they will come to your booth, pick them up, and put them in front of their face.
And also, if you are a binocular dealer of any sort and you are going to the flea markets, get a booth that has a place that we can look far away at. Because if you're inside or you're too close, I can't tell how good the binocs are because everything's too fucking close. So now I just got to hope that they see far away good. If you have a nice booth outside on the very end, I can look all the way down one of the aisles at the flea market or the swap meet, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or get a good look out into the forest or the rest of the parking lot. If I can really get out there a couple hundred yards, don't back yourself into a corner. I've only bought binoculars twice, and I tell you this right now, I guarantee you, I bet my good eye I looked through them before I bought them.
Yeah, you have to.
There's no way. You don't just look at the appearance of the binocular and be like, I'll take it. Gotta look.
You know, I have a pair of binoculars in my garage. You've seen them. Because when you saw them, what'd you do? You picked them up and you looked at them.
Wow, these are good.
I want to.
Did you play with the little thing in the middle for a little bit? Try to find the red blurriness. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's too much. There's that sweet spot right in the binocs.
Got it.
Oh man,
I want to take that set of binoculars I have and set them in my house. Right, mm-hmm. Like as soon as you walk in to the kitchen, they're at the edge of the island. And if like someone comes to my house and they don't acknowledge the binocular or don't pick them up to look at them, I'm just going to kick them out of my life. Because you know what? You're not fucking curious enough.
I mean, have some class.
Jesus. All right.
Rusty sockets and wrenches.
Rusty socket. It's a
There's always like an 85-year-old dude selling all his old tools because he's not allowed no more to use his tools and shit. And they're cheap, bro. They're way. They're like 1947 prices on tools. If you go to a tool store, if you go to Harbor Freight or you go to True Value, you go to Walmart, Home Depot, tools are not cheap.
And you always find them at flea markets, bro.
And guess
always.
What? They were doing the same thing 50 years ago as they are now. This little buddy right here is a little bit too tight on this other little buddy. I can't do it with my fingers. I need help. This will work. Boom. Done.
My last one's the Thighmaster.
Good one.
Only if they also have the workout VHS tape with it. Series of the Suzanne Summers, like if you're too young to remember, just Google it, because Suzanne Summers back when I was a kid was the hottest thing on TV. And she, as she got a little bit older, she sold these Thighmaster things that you like, they were so sexual, the whole commercial, right? So you would put the Thighmaster in between her knees,
like a shape
inside of
a V,
her thighs. Yeah.
With a ball in the middle. That was like the middle part that where the resistance was.
And the camera was always shooting right at her cooch. I mean, it was from like, and she would just squeeze together. And you like.
She was just taking her legs, just doing the little machine, just hitting the Thighmaster. And her
what
and little boys were
muscles
like, what
are you trying to strengthen and why? It obviously only.
It was straight for cankles, I'm pretty sure. They're doing cankles.
You're not cankles.
Kegels.
Kegels. Kegels.
I'm wearing flip-flops.
To strengthen your vagina. So I would watch that DVD over and over and over. It's like a porn to me. It's like soft porn.
Okay, band buttons and patches. There's always a guy with the buttons and the patches and the stickers. You know what I mean? He probably has some sort of toy figures of Gene Simmons. You know what I mean? he probably has Kiss toys still in the packaging. That was the hard rock guy.
All right.
Oh, shit.
Let's close it out on some high notes.
All right, y'all. Let's hit those high notes.
Sean Latham, your high note is what?
My high note is this, Todd. I wish I lived in the 70s and that was when like I was the single guy, you know. And I wished that, because I met a guy when I was like 20, 21 at a restaurant. He was this guy would lie to women. And I mean, he would reel me. I had never lied. I couldn't lie. My mother, I mean, yeah, I said I drank. I didn't tell her I drank or whatever, but like real deep, like lying to a human being, like about who you are as a person and all that. Right.
Yeah. Right.
This guy would lie his nuts off. One time he had these two girls coming over. He's like, come over tonight, dude. I had these two girls coming over. I told them we're both Chandler PD. I was like, what? He's like, tonight we're cops. And I was like, I'm like, I can't fucking lie all night. Like, shut up, dude. Who cares? Just play off whatever I tell you. We're fucking Chandler PD tonight. And I fucking went over, bro. And I said the least amount of words I ever said in the entire evening. But I was a fake cop the whole night. And that just makes me think, I wish I wouldn't have been like, I wish I could have been like that guy. And then in the 70s, whenever anybody, when I'm talking to a woman at a bar, I'd just be like, yeah, I work for the Times.
Mm.
I work for, and then other nights,
right.
I work for the Post. Yeah. When you ever, you know, you could be anywhere, you could do anything. If you got to get in somewhere, I'm with the Times. I'm with the Post. Hi, I'm Sean Latham. I'm with the Post. Oh, well, don't come on in. Yeah, I'm here to see Marcus. Yeah, do you have an appointment? I'm with the Post. I'm with the Times. And boom, right in. I mean, it's like a fucking key to the city. That working for the Times and the Post.
I love to do that in the opposite direction. Sometimes dudes at bars, I will make up a profession. Like I was with my dude, tall guy Brandon, and we were going to see Metallica in concert, and we stopped at Brothers to eat and then have a few beers and do some shots.
There was a significant age difference in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So some dude comes up next to the bar, and we were going to do a shot of Jameson, and he was like, have you tried Proper 12? And we're like, oh, you know, Conor McGregor's thing, it had just come out. And I'm like, you know, I haven't yet. Fuck it. Let's do Proper 12. And I really like it, you know, but we took that shot, whatever. And he's like, so what do you guys do? And Brandon's like, oh, I sell poop drugs. You know, he sells pharmaceuticals that make you poop or whatever. And that was true. And then I was like, wow, that's way more cool than what I was about to say. I'm fucking, that's funny. Like he has that forever. That's his job. It's like, I sell poop drugs, and it starts a whole conversation. So I was like, I come from a cheese family. Like, and he's like, what? I was like, yeah, my family's really into cheese. You know, but ever since my great grandfather, he came over from Ireland, and he was a big cheese guy. He would make his own cheese, and he would give it away to the other people in the Irish community there, because they were just, you know, they only had potatoes, they were starving. And he learned how to make his own cheese from just one goat. From one goat, he would feed that whole block cheese. Like it was an egg. I don't know why the goat was so milky, but it was. And then it developed into a whole company now. And so, we own Velveeta. And this dude fucking was like hook, line, and sinker through the whole fucking thing until I broke out Velveeta. He was like, you motherfucker, you had me.
I love that, dude. That's just fun right there.
Yeah, it's just fun.
What's your high note,
Uncle? My high note is, where's all the baby squirrels?
Like, good fucking question.
Why you never see a baby squirrel? You ever seen a baby squirrel in your life? Of course not. Nobody's ever seen a baby squirrel.
I want to see a little baby squirrel with a little baby tail.
Where are they? What are they doing all day? We never see them.
They must be fast.
Squirrels are always...
Are they born
squirrels
with that little cute-ass tail?
I don't know. I've never seen one.
When I first moved to Indy, and we were living in Bauer's Extra House there in Broad Ripple, I was there with Ari, my little doggy.
Yeah.
And one time I let her out in the backyard to go to the bathroom and just hang out back there. And all I hear is this weird hissing noise. And I think I was talking on the phone with you or something. I was on the computer doing something. And I look out there, and Ari has a mouthful of this like squirrel tail feathers. And there's a pile of them, like a little, like it looks like pine needles almost. And I'm trying to put it all together. And I go, well, she must have fucking caught the ass end of a squirrel.
Yeah.
And when she bit down, it dragged off all the hair off the tail. So then I swear, like a movie, 2 minutes later, I happen to look up, and what's running across the goddamn power lines in front of the house was a squirrel with a hairless tail.
He looks like he's got
like
a rat
fucking
tail.
Rat, bro. It made me look at squirrels so much shittier after that. But I've come back around to their cuteness. But I was like, she ate the... But I've never seen a baby squirrel, and do they have little baby squirrel tails?
And like, I love my squirrels. I mean, in my yard at any given time, you've been here a lot. Like, there are 50 squirrels just running about.
You have a picnic table on your
four squirrels
on your fucking tree. Baby squirrel.
I've never seen a baby squirrel. It makes me think that almost like when
I can't believe I have to Google this.
When an adult squirrel that's a mom has a baby squirrel.
Oh my god!
It's full grown, dude. And they just explode, and they're like, "Oh, I'm a new squirrel."
Todd, you don't want to know how cute this fucking thing is, dude.
Jared, can you screen share a picture of a baby squirrel and give me a thumb up when you get it?
I got to turn my computer around. You got to see this.
Hang on, we'll just fucking screen share.
Oh, look at the one with the baby squirrel in the hand, Jared. Holy Christ, dude.
Look at that. That's a cute. Why can't we see them ever?
Oh, man.
I want them in my house in a little aquarium.
That's the best thing I've ever seen.
Look at that. That's the cutest fucking animal on the planet.
Oh, my gosh.
It's got little monkey hands.
If that's not the cutest little thing you've ever. Look at that little cute ass tail. Holy Jesus.
All right. Well, the mystery
solved. That's how you end an episode with some cuteness, man.
Some cute baby squirrels. Let's say things were going bad for us right now, and we were like, fuck it. I'm going to go into my office job that I hate tomorrow with this fucking assault rifle and just fucking take out the whole office. You look at a picture of a baby squirrel, change my mind.
I will change my mind.
I'm not going to kill anybody from now on because the world is beautiful, Sean.
Hey,
thank you for finding
us. We forgot to talk about the Patreon, but we'll do that.
Oh, tomorrow. We have to.
Guys, Patreon. Please, sign up for the Patreon. We just got it all ready to go. We'll put the link in.
We spent so much time on it. We tried to make it look as good as possible. We put as many benefits as we could possibly manage. It's going to be a lot of time management for us, but yes, you guys are worth it.
Listen, if we have a few thousand amazing fans, I'm fucking game on that, dude. You know what I mean? Let's run. Let's build them. They're going to tell people who are going to tell people. And the only way to do it is just to show them pictures of baby squirrels and let them know that our Patreon is loaded with fun stuff. Video calls and coffee sessions and cook-alongs and fucking parties and free merchandise. I mean, it's just a stacked
video
awesome
call on your birthday. You know what? And I'm going to add this right now, Sean. It's not listed in the benefits currently. So when people get on there, you won't see this yet, but I'm going to add it because there is a little thing that just says, hey, bonus content. That's like a catch-all, things nobody get. I'm going to throw in a couple extra pics of baby squirrels.
I mean, that alone is worth $100 a month. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Even for the poorest person, Todd.
Yeah. So go on gunsblazingpodcast.com and search in there. There's a little link to our Patreon. Check it out. See if you like it. That's our army. Yeah. That's the real homies.
So hit to our Patreon and let's all become best friends and let's party in the summer at Todd's backyard fucking barbecue bash.
I have so many squirrels.